It's been 10 days since my last episode. The NFL free agency period has not started yet, but there's already been interesting moves. Some by the Cowboys. Let's get started. It's early in the year, but there's already been a couple of moves in the NFL. Chief among them, the Joe Flacco move. But today I wanted to start off by talking about Antonio Brown. And the reason I want to talk about Antonio Brown, it's because I stumbled across this article by the Pittsburgh Steelers equivalent of Blogging the Boys, called Behind the Steel Curtain. This particular article is titled Antonio Brown's Dream Destination, America's Team? ? And it also has a subtitle, which to me is really the one that drew my attention. It says, if there is one team in the whole NFL that desperately needs, I want to rephrase that again. I want to say that again. Desperately needs to dream big and make a blockbuster trade for Antonio Brown, it would be the Dallas Cowboys. Now, reading through this article, there's a bunch of things that he says that I just don't agree with. But his main reason for the Antonio Brown going to the Dallas Cowboys is because the Dallas Cowboys are the most expensive franchise in the NFL, and Antonio Brown is open for business. Now, I read the whole thing, and to me, that's the only argument that he has for Antonio Brown joining the Cowboys. Other than that, it's extremely clear that he just wants Leighton Vander Esch, because going into the article, he says, yeah, Antonio Brown would be a great fit for the Dallas Cowboys, but only if they give us Leighton Vander Esch. Oh, and then get this. He says, I may be crazy, but I shouldn't be the one dreaming. The Dallas Cowboys are the ones who should be pinching themselves. Pinching themselves for what? Because they have a chance at getting Antonio Brown, a wide receiver who's 30 years old, who would be a huge hit to the salary cap. Not only that, his diva personality. We don't need Antonio Brown. We don't need any of that garbage over here. I'm not calling him garbage. I'm calling what he brings over to the team garbage. Just a bunch of distractions that the Cowboys don't need. In what universe does it make sense to trade a stud linebacker going into his second season for a 30-year-old wide receiver who brings all that baggage? This guy says that trading for Antonio Brown would make the Cowboys reclaim their position at the center of the NFL universe. Now, when did the Cowboys lose their position at the center of the NFL universe? Last time I checked, they were the most expensive franchise in the NFL. If there's a game on, they always bring the best ratings. They never lost it. What is this guy talking about? Now, I get that teams would try and do whatever they want to get Leighton Vander Esch. I mean, after his rookie season, who wouldn't, right? But the Cowboys would be stupid to make a straight-up trade like that. I mean, anybody would be stupid to make a straight-up trade like that. Leighton Vander Esch for Antonio Brown. Come on, man. That's just... You got to be serious when you write articles. You can't... I mean, is this meant as a joke? Because everybody's going to... Every Cowboys fan and literally every NFL team... Or, I'm sorry, every NFL fan should read this as a joke. There's no way this can be serious. And yes, you are the crazy one, Shannon White. Shannon White is, by the way, the person who wrote this article. The Cowboys already have Amari Cooper, who is younger, still has that fifth-year option, and I don't see Antonio Brown being that much better than Cooper. Cooper can still get better. Antonio Brown is older than 30 years old. And after that 30-year-old mark for wide receivers, I mean, let's face it, you're going to start coming down, especially if if you're not a bigger target like Larry Fitzgerald is. Now, I know that Antonio Brown's still going to be able to run his routes, but speed goes down, and Antonio Brown has a lot of speed, but after 30, it's going to go down. And Amari Cooper is still on the right side of 30, has a fifth-year option still for the Cowboys to activate. So, I mean, it makes absolutely no sense. So then I'm thinking to myself, okay, this guy is a little bit nuts, or at least is trying to get some kind of opinion out of somebody, or probably get Jerry Jones all riled up and getting him into making a trade for Antonio Brown. I mean, I don't know, anything's possible, right, with Jerry. But I'm thinking, okay, the comments for this article are not going to be, they're going to see it as a complete joke, right? No, that's wrong. I scroll down and somebody says, LVE is not a possibility. But what about Jalen Smith? He's not quite at LVE's level, but the dude is a way above average linebacker with decent coverage ability. They might be willing to part with him. Why would they want to get rid? Why would the Cowboys want to get rid of Jalen Smith? Jalen Smith is a person that the Cowboys gambled on with the second round pick in 2016. They've waited for him to get healthy. Why would they get rid of him? Not only that, to me, Jalen Smith is better than LVE. It's very clear that some of these people don't watch the Cowboys game and they just go based off of what TV personalities say or what the highlights show. But Jalen Smith currently is a better linebacker of the two. He's also more physically gifted. The two are, both of them are very, very good, don't get me wrong, but at current stage, Jalen Smith is better. He's not quite at LVE's level. What the hell is this guy talking about? And the Cowboys would definitely not be willing to part with him, especially not for Antonio Brown. For the Cowboys to be willing to get rid of Jalen Smith or Leighton Vander Esch, you'd have to give them a better quarterback than Dak Prescott is. And even then, I'm not sure that they would take that. If anything, I say give them Sean Lee so that the Pittsburgh Steelers could keep Antonio Brown. We don't want him over here. Keep him to yourself or send him to somebody else who's doesn't care about their team, because right now the Dallas Cowboys, from the outside looking in, it seems like the locker room is very strong. They seem like they get along very good, and bringing in somebody like Antonio Brown would just be disruptive. It would be a mess. It would be chaos. We don't need any of that stuff. Moving on, today there was some news about Terrence Williams. He's going to become a free agent. The Dallas Cowboys are not going to extend him anymore or pick up his contract anymore. They're going to let him walk, and that is a good it's a good decision. Terrence Williams last year only had 2 catches the whole year. Now, obviously, he was an injured reserve, but he did play a total of 3 games, albeit not at 100%. He had 2 catches. Prior to that, he had been injured. He had been caught for some substance abuse policy. The dude had been kind of a wreck, honestly, especially this year. So it was a good decision to get rid of him. I'm okay with it. Terrence Williams was... Every Cowboys fan should know that Terrence Williams never knew how to catch with his hands. Even at his best, the ball was always bouncing on his chest. That's not to say Terrence Williams was a bad receiver or a really bad receiver. I think he was an okay number two. Not a great number two, but a decent number two. He always seemed to be open for those big plays downfield because of that speed that he has. Especially, you know, like from the 10, 15, 20 yard range. He made a couple of great catches, especially when Tony was there, even when Dak was throwing to him. But again, he wasn't anything that now that he's walking, you'd be saying, well, what are the Cowboys doing? They're being dumb. They should resign. They should keep him. They should resign him. No, they extended him that 1 year, and I think now it's he needs to go now. It's Michael Gallup is a better receiver. Even in his rookie year, he's a better receiver than I think Terrence was throughout his whole career. Although Michael Gallup didn't really have, he still doesn't have the catches or the numbers that Terrence Williams has. But I think overall Gallup offers a bigger upside. And I mean, I'm okay with it. Gallup is going to be a much better option moving forward. And I can't wait to see what he does next year. The move is also going to save the Dallas Cowboys $2.25 million in the salary cap. So that's a big plus. Getting rid of somebody who only played two games, and I mean, he's going to save them some money. So that's a great move by the Cowboys right there. Moving on about Tank, there's been a lot of news, a lot of speculation about surrounding Tank. Are the Cowboys going to franchise tag him again? Are they going to extend him? What's happening with Tank? So I know that there was a report that came out that the Cowboys were going to tag him for sure. Now, the only way I see that happening is if they don't come to an agreement before March 5th, because the Cowboys would be stupid to let Tank go. Who else would replace his production? Who else would replace his 10 plus sacks? His 39 quarterback pressures. We don't have another guy like him. There isn't very many guys like him in the NFL to begin with. So the only way that the Cowboys franchise tag Tank is if they don't come to an agreement before March 5th, which may or may not happen. But the point is, the Cowboys are not going to let him walk. They're going to try and work something out long term. And if it doesn't work out before March 5th, they're going to tag him. Simple as that. Now, I know that Tank hasn't had surgery on his shoulder, or what is it? I think it is his shoulder. But I think he plans on having that surgery after his contract extension, which, I mean, I don't blame him. You gotta take care of number one first. You get signed, you get paid, then you take care of your shoulder. So, because you never know what might happen in a shoulder surgery. Lots of things can go wrong. Or is it his back surgery? Because I know he's had back issues before. Anyways, he won't have surgery until after he signs the contract. That's for sure. I'll talk about Joe Flacco and Kareem Hunt after this break. Welcome back. Hopefully you're still with me. So, there was something interesting that happened also. I don't know if it was this week or last week. But Kaepernick has apparently settled his suit with the NFL. Now, it's interesting to me that the AAF, which I talked about in my last episode, reached out to Kaepernick, and they also reached out to Tim Tebow to try and get them to play in the AAF. And I think they both declined. I know Cap for sure declined. But after that story came out, Kaepernick then settled his suit, and now apparently the Patriots and the Panthers are showing interest. Now, I don't know if this has anything to do with that. Probably not. But maybe it does. I mean, who knows? Maybe the NFL said, wait a minute. Cap's going to go make money for some other organization? No. Let's settle this suit now, and let's get Cap back into the field and playing again. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's something there. Maybe there isn't. But I just find it a little bit interesting that after the AAF shows interest in Kaepernick, which, by the way, if Kaepernick were to play in the AAF, he would just dominate. I mean, the AAF is really... Somebody on Twitter put it really well. They said the AAF is basically a college all-star game. I have to say, I agree with that. Now, the AAF has been pretty entertaining, but Kaepernick would absolutely destroy that league. And speaking about Twitter, I was scrolling through Twitter, and I saw this GIF or GIF, I don't know what you want to call it. I call him GIF, where Reggie White, who, by the way, I'm a little bit too young to remember Reggie White playing. I know that I saw him, but I don't quite remember very well. But in this GIF, Reggie White shoved the great Larry Allen with what apparently was his best move or his dominant move, called the hump. And he, which is basically just a right arm kind of push with his elbow. Anyways, he ran into Larry Allen, who, as many NFL fans should know, or maybe all NFL fans should know, Larry Allen was a strong, strong man, benching almost 700 pounds. And this man, Reggie White, just shoved him off him and literally threw him on the ground. And Larry Allen flew for at least 3 yards. I mean, Larry Allen wasn't just a strong man. He was a big man. And Reggie White just, his little shoulder or elbow shrug, and he just sends Larry Allen flying. I mean, I don't remember Reggie White playing because, like I said, I was too young. But, geez, if that's the kind of stuff Reggie White was doing, good Lord, I wonder what he'd be doing right now. Probably still dominating. But he did that to Larry Allen, who is one of the best left tackles that ever played. But he was, Larry, it must be said though, Larry Allen in this GIF was playing as a right tackle, which means that it was his rookie year. But still, I mean, it's Larry Allen. Come on. You got to be made of something to be able to push Larry Allen off his feet. I got to tell you. But Kaepernick and the AAF would absolutely destroy. And speaking about the AAF, an old Cowboys player that Cowboys fans should recognize is playing in the AAF for, I'm not sure what team, honestly. I can't remember the names of the team. They're still pretty new to me. But Gavin Escobar, the ex-tight end for the Cowboys, is playing tight end for one of the AAF teams, which this past Saturday or Sunday, he caught a backwards pass. Now, when I say backwards, I don't mean backwards as in the quarterback grabbed the ball, turned it, threw it backwards, you know, behind the line of scrimmage. I mean, the quarterback was running, did kind of this 180 turn, and threw the ball over his head without looking behind him, and Escobar made the catch. I mean, that's the only way I can describe it. And it was, it was crazy. And a lot of people immediately went to talk about Patrick Mahomes. Now, Patrick Mahomes never made that kind of a no-look pass because at least Patrick Mahomes was facing the right direction. This other quarterback was facing his end zone and literally threw the ball behind him over his head. And it was a completed pass. I mean, it was amazing. It was pretty fun. And the AAF has been pretty fun to watch. The Arizona Hotshots, I'm not sure if many of you took me up on watching the Arizona Hotshots. They are 2-0. They came off the very first AAF road win when they beat the Memphis Express. They came back from behind and they got a win late in the game, which was pretty cool to watch. And they'll be trying to get their third victory here coming up against the Atlanta Legends on Sunday. They'll be playing here in Arizona in the Sun Devil Stadium at 6 p.m. Now, the tickets are pretty cheap for these games, so I'm actually thinking about going, if not to this one, to another one. But they're pretty cheap, so it should be fun to watch one of these games. But enough about the AAF. Let's talk about Kareem Hunt. So, if you've been following what's going on in the offseason, the Browns picked up Kareem Hunt. He's still on the commissioner's exempt list, as far as I know. But they picked him up, and honestly, I think it's a great move by them. I know there's been a lot of talk about what he did, whether what he did was wrong or not. You know, there's... And then they were questioning the GM about why he picked him up and why he shouldn't have. And it's just, the GM should have just came out and just said, you know what, I picked him up. I think he learned something from his mistake and move on and not say that he didn't have anything to say about it. You know, you're the GM. Of course you have something to say about it. Just say that you wanted the guy and that the guy is sorry for what he did and just move on. But beyond that, I think Kareem Hunt is going to be a great pickup for the Browns. He was great with the Chiefs, where he had Patrick Mahomes. The Browns now have they're going to have a pretty good team for next season. I'm not sure if people remember, but the Browns still have Myles Garrett, who at one point was the number one pick overall. Now they're going to have Baker Mayfield, Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb. They're going to have a pretty good defense. If they just add another wide receiver, hint, maybe Antonio Brown. I mean, I don't know. The Steelers would probably be stupid to trade him to the Browns considering their arrival. But let's say the Browns pick up a good wide receiver. You're looking at a possible Browns playoffs. And that hasn't happened in a long, long time. And it would be definitely be something to behold. I'm not a Browns fan, obviously. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. But it'd be something to see the Browns in the playoffs. I'd kind of like that, honestly. Now, I'm not predicting the Browns are going to be in the playoffs. I don't know if they're going to be good enough this next upcoming year. But I'm just saying, watch out. Watch out. Wouldn't it be funny if the Browns are the team that end the Patriots dynasty? Which you can kind of make the case that the Browns are the ones who started the Patriots dynasty by giving them Bill Belichick. Now let's talk about the other trade that happened, the Joe Flacco trade to the Broncos. Now I don't know all the details about the trade. I know that there's at least a fourth rounder that's being sent to the Ravens, which is not that high of a pick. I guess it's kind of where I would expect Flacco to be traded for. Maybe a fifth rounder. Maybe a sixth rounder. Because Joe is... he's not very good. Even when he won the Super Bowl. You know, it was because of the defense. Everybody should be aware of that. I know he got hot a little bit in the playoffs. But the defense is what got him there. And ultimately won the Super Bowl for them. And let's not forget, Joe Flacco is 34 years old now. I don't know what the Broncos are doing here. I mean, the Broncos are definitely messing up. It just seems like John Elway is doing his best to make sure that his time with the Broncos was the best that the Broncos are gonna be at quarterback, at least while he's the GM. He's just ensuring his legacy, because how else would you describe this? I know that he brought Peyton Manning over, but I mean, come on, dude. Now he has Case Keenum. He's brought over Joe Flacco. What is he doing? Then there was the whole Brock Osweiler situation. I mean, he's reaching real, real bad for quarterbacks, and I get it. You know, quarterbacks are the main thing that if you don't have, you're not going to win a Super Bowl. Unless you have a great defense. But, and then there was that whole Paxton Lynch thing, which thank God they drafted him, because the Cowboys definitely got lucky they're not drafting Paxton Lynch. Although, who knows, maybe he would have been something different with the Dallas Cowboys. But anyway, John Elway is really messing up the Broncos right now. And apparently the Redskins were also showing interest in making themselves with Flacco services, which I personally think they should go for Nick Foles. Well, I mean, why wouldn't they? Nick Foles is a Super Bowl MVP. He's shown that he can play at least in the NFC East. So he knows the NFC East. He knows the rivals. Why not? He's probably not going to come by cheap. Maybe if they trade for him, it's probably going to be second rounder. Maybe first rounder. I mean, I don't know. Quarterbacks are expensive in this league. As far as Joe Flacco is concerned, I think the Arizona Cardinals should have taken a chance on him. Maybe not as a starter, but at least to have him be kind of a quarterback's coach for Josh Rosen, who I don't think very much of. I think the guy is terrible. Joe Flacco probably would have had that starting position also over there. Even if the Cardinals coach keeps saying that Rosen is his guy. You know, coaches have to say that in front of the people. They just got to say that. They got to protect their guy. But Rosen is not the guy, at least not yet. He hasn't shown anything. So Flacco will at least be one step above Rosen. That I know for sure. But that's all I have for today. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Thanks for listening, those of you who listen. Thanks for subscribing, those of you who have subscribed. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can at Dallas_addict. If you do, you'll get notifications for when new episodes come out. You'll also see all the stuff that I tweet or retweet or comment on. It's pretty interesting. Sometimes I get into conversations with other people, and it's pretty interesting what other people got to say. But anyway, thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.